Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, I have my own business, so I wear lots of hats. Now I'm wearing my office manager hat because I need supplies.
Well, Staples has everything you need, like paper, ink and toner, the latest tech.
Now I'm putting on my CFO hat because I can't overspend.
Well, right now get a Dell laptop for just $299.99. That's $200 off.
All my hats and I would like to thank you.
They are welcome.
Staples, everything you need for business at great prices. Like a Dell laptop with i3 core processor for just $299.99.
Valid on SKU 214-8359. Ends
220. From the WGCH Weather Center.
Mostly sunny for this afternoon. Cooler temperatures in the mid to upper 40s. Clear, cold tonight, 20 to 25. Increased clouds tomorrow with a high around 40. More clouds with rain showers tomorrow night, 35. Becoming partly sunny Wednesday, 55. Mostly sunny, mild, low 60s Thursday, and partly sunny, low 50s on Friday. Rain showers, 55 Saturday. I'm meteorologist Bill Jackwoman, and that's your Weather Center forecast from 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Hi, I'm Jen Graziano. Tune in Wednesday mornings, 9:30 a.m. for Time to Talk. We will encourage conversations regarding sensitive topics that we all need to prepare for. We will cover issues that span from legal planning to emotional and spiritual guidance and so much more. Join me for this important program Wednesday mornings, 9:30 a.m. on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
The opinions expressed in our talk shows are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio. And now, the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour on 1490 WGCH.
Beth O'Malley at Be Well with Beth, part of the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour here at WGCH 1490 or WGCH.com from anywhere. And I am here this afternoon, just in from Hawaii with a fabulous tan. You can't hear because I have Rob off the mic today, but he's laughing hysterically because I do not tan. We are here today with YNET, which is a group at Greenwich High School supportive of teens and teen dating violence. And so I'd like to welcome today, first, three of our executive committee members out of the six teenage executive committee members from the high school. First is Morgan. And Morgan Foster is in 11th grade. She went to North Mianus and then Eastern. Welcome, Morgan.
Hello. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And next, I'd like to welcome Ale. And Ollie is a senior at the high school, originally at Cos Cob and then through Central, and now you're a senior and looking forward to college, I guess.
Yes.
Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. And also we have today with us another senior who went to Cos Cob and then Eastern, and that's Olivia Luntz.
Hi, thanks for having us.
You're very welcome. I'm so glad you guys could join the adults today because I'm really anxious to talk to the three of you being right at the high school and having the opportunity to talk to other teens who are in a situation where there is potential danger, and you're so supportive to the girls in that way. So thank you for being here. I also today we have Jahira Gonzalez, who is the community education specialist and bilingual advocate at the YWCA Domestic Abuse Services. Welcome, Jahira.
Thank you for having us.
It's so good to work with you here. We're usually together over at Positively More, running the program for younger girls, but we both, of course, do lots of work in the community with teenagers.
Right.
And so it's nice to be able to share in this with you. And we also are welcoming one of the many Mary Ann's from Greenwich High School Nursing Department, and that is Mary Ann Bollinger. And I'm so grateful for your being here today from the high school.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So what we'd like to do today is I would like to just first give the phone number out for the Domestic Abuse Services hotline, which is through the YWCA. And that is 203-622-0003. Again, 203-622-0003. And we'd also love for you to follow the Y on social media. They have a specifically for the teens YNET, so capital Y, capital N-E-T, space Greenwich on Instagram. And there's tons of resources available to our community right on Instagram through that link. In addition, there's going to be a film screening of Escalation on February 28th at 6:30, and that's for parents, educators, service providers, and interested adults. The YWCA is collaborating with One Love Foundation, and this Escalation workshop is happening at most high schools, including GHS, but also some independent ones. It's free, but seating is limited, so please RSVP prior to coming on the YWCA website. In addition, on March 11th, and we've just shared this with Rob as well, the YNET basketball tournament is from 12:30 till 5 at the YWCA, and that's a really exciting tournament that's going to support YNET and help raise money and awareness for TDV, which is teen dating violence. It'll be $10 a player, and 3 players will be on each team. So actually, the tournament is one where we all get to play.
Yes, and it is our first annual as well, so we're excited.
Oh, wonderful. That's going to be fun. So there's going to be adults and high school kids mm-hmm. playing?
Yep. I think the minimum age is 13 to play.
What's the maximum age?
There isn't one.
Darn, I thought I could have aged out of that one. March 24th, we're having a T-shirt blitz at Greenwich High School where all teachers and staff will be wearing YNET shirts that they've purchased to spark the conversation in teen domestic violence and awareness with students. And I think I hit all of the promos. Mm. So,
what I'd like stuff coming up.
Yeah, a lot of spring activity, which is great. And I think that, you know, in general, my practice, I've seen a spike in teen violence and young adult violence in relationships in the spring. And I don't know if there's some medical reason for that, but it's something that it happens to be when I tend to get young women coming in or girls coming in and really starting to talk about relationship issues. And I'll be sharing some of that throughout the show, some of what I've seen. But what I'd like to start with, Morgan, if you could help us with this, is explaining what YNET is and why it exists.
Yeah, absolutely. So YNET is a club at Greenwich High School, and we are sponsored by the YWCA of Greenwich, or a partnership with them. And the club is made up of high school students, and we all member meetings take place every 2 weeks at the YWCA. And what we do is we try to educate our peers about teen dating violence and domestic abuse, and also promote healthy relationships, because that's a big part of what we do and what we're trying to, the message that we're trying to send out, not only what not to do, but what is good to do in a relationship.
So healthy dating tips.
Yes.
Okay, good. We just had Leslie Copland on my show from the Y in terms of domestic abuse services for adults. And one of the interesting pieces that she shared with me that I had actually heard a little bit of through my son, who's in eighth grade at Western, is that the Y goes into the middle schools and also the high schools, but in the middle schools really does a very thorough education with the kids about what domestic violence looks like in relationships, and they role play. And my son volunteered, and not knowing he was volunteering to be the abuser. So, and then one of his little friends that he's known since, you know, kindergarten was the girl that he was supposed to be abusive to. And he said it was so hard for him just to even say some of the phrases and words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we go into the middle schools, and I definitely remember as a middle schooler getting, you know, education on teen dating violence as a sixth grader, and I think as an eighth grader again, and Jahira comes in and does the whole role play thing. And that's part of the reason why I joined. It's how I came to know Wynette as a group at the high school. And we also go in to junior wellness classes. So all juniors, you have to take that class to graduate. So all juniors will get the same or a similar lesson on domestic abuse and teen dating violence and how to avoid it in your life.
It must be a lot more serious at the junior high school level, because now you're at the point where some of these children are actually in abusive relationships and starting to identify. Have any of you girls ever been in a class where the people, the teachers or educators or the Y staff come in and they're starting to educate, and then you're aware of or you find out that there are kids who might be needing some help?
Yeah, whenever I'm in a health class and they bring up teen dating violence, I always try and mention that I'm in Wynette, and then, you know, we have people come up to me after and, like, tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, can I talk to you about my relationship? Or maybe they'll have a question about something they're concerned about, or they'll ask, you know, how can I get further help? And we always recommend that, you know, they can talk to us, but then we also tell them to go to Marianne in the nurse's office, and also Yahira can come into the school and come to the nurse's office and talk to them. And they can bring a friend and just sit down and have a conversation. It doesn't have to, you know, they don't have to go to DAS necessarily if they feel uncomfortable doing that.
So let me ask you this. If a girl comes up to you, taps you on the shoulder, mm-hmm. and wants to talk to you, or gets in touch with someone who's in Wynette for support, is it confidential?
Oh, totally.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, we have to tell our advisors, but we're not going to tell anyone else now.
Okay. And if you take the girl into the nurse's office, at that point in time, if they start to share with the nurse about the abuse, can it still be confidential?
Well, I think they would have to contact someone at DAS, but they're not going to share it around the school now.
Let's have Marianne just speak to that for a moment, just because I want to be sure that that the confidentiality of a teen is protected in terms of getting the help that they need.
We have had some cases where someone has come into the nurse's office and asked for some help, and I've contacted Jahira, and she's come in and handled it confidential. So it always will remain confidential with any of the three nurses that are in the high school, and we would contact Jahira. And if it is mandated reporting, then we are mandated reporters, right. So we would have to report that.
That gets into a whole different...
Yes.
But from my experience being in private practice, for the most part, most of the situations that are presented to me are such that the parents really don't have to be notified, so a child should not feel afraid to come forward if they're needing support in any way. And it sounds like you're handling it the same way at the high school. Yes, and there are mandated reporters, as teachers or nurses or social workers or therapists. We are mandated if there's something such as a rape or severe abuse, but that's usually in a different category. So thank you for sharing about that. There, I shared with you all before we started that when I was in high school, I myself had suffered an abusive, violent relationship where there was never physical violence, but often threats and intimidation. And we're going to be talking a little bit about the signs and symptoms mm-hmm. of teen domestic violence, because so much of it exists. And oftentimes the friends of the boy and girl both know, and friends often try to intervene but don't always know what to do. So we'll also be talking today about what you can do if you have a friend that you're worried about. So on that note, we are going to take a brief break and come back to discuss some of those points. This is Beth O'Malley at Be Well with Beth, part of the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour on WGCH 1490 or WGCH.com from anywhere.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Mainly sunny and turning quite a bit milder today. High temperatures rising up to near 50 degrees. A few clouds roll on through tonight with lows in the mid-30s. And then for tomorrow, another mild day. Lots of sunshine, high near 50. Then mostly clear tomorrow night, lows in the low 30s. Then sunny and cooler for Monday, high near 45. I'm meteorologist Ryan Gallagher, and that's your Weather Center forecast from 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
This is Alice Bonvenuto at Greenwich Library. Authors Live at Greenwich Library is presenting award-winning poet and playwright Stephen Mack Jones on Thursday, February 23rd at 7 p.m. in the second floor meeting room. Police corruption and violence run rampant in his debut novel, August Snow. Snow, the title character, returns to hometown Detroit a year after being driven out of the Detroit Police Department for exposing corruption. Snow is drawn back into this world in a fast-paced novel that ranges from his old Detroit neighborhood to Grosse Pointe. If you like cops and crime fiction, come on February 23rd to meet and hear author Stephen Mack Jones. Registration is not required, but highly encouraged, as seating in the meeting room is limited. I'm Alice Bonvenuto of Greenwich Library on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Good afternoon. This is Beth O'Malley at Be Well with Beth, part of the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour at WGCH 1490 or WGCH.com from anywhere. And I am here today with the YNET group, three of the executive members of the board from the high school. Three of the girls, 11th and 12th graders, are here with us today, as well as Jahira Gonzalez from the YWCA Domestic Abuse Services, and Marianne Bollinger, a nurse at Greenwich High School. And I'm so blessed to have you guys here today. It's a different story that we get when we talk to actual kids as opposed to all the adults talking about what we do for you. One of the things that was amazing to me is that you guys are not just advocates for teen violence at the high school, but that you actually go over to the Y at part of the Domestic Abuse Services to run programs for the child victims of domestic violence. Have any of you had the chance to do that?
Yeah, I have. I've been part of the Buddy program there, and basically what we do is... It used to be more frequently, about once a month, but I think we're having four this year. The next one will be ice skating. And basically, children who live in families where their parents may be in an abusive relationship, or it's a, you know, tense home. It's not 100%. It's not really a safe place to be all the time.
And by tense, it could just be emotionally tense all the time because of the agitation. They might not necessarily be seeing physical violence.
Yeah, so we run just a little program where the kids can come and just hang out with older, you know, high school students, and we do stuff like crafts, and there's games. The next... buddy party, as we call them, is ice skating, so it's just a fun way to, you know, get the kids out of the house so they can, you know, do something fun, kind of be, you know, with other children and kind of forget.
I would imagine that a little one who's maybe getting lost in the shuffle at home because of the tension or fighting at home probably really appreciates the full attention that you as teens can give to them.
Yeah, and we try our best to pair, like, the same kids with the same teens. You know, if they're both in attendance, then we're going to match them up with each other as often as we can so that they can build, you know, a stronger relationship with someone outside of their home.
Wonderful. Okay, that's really cool. You're trained also in how to educate teens about relationships, correct?
Yes, all of the executive committee members, there are six of us at the high school, we are trained over the summer on how to approach someone who you think is in a domestically abusive relationship and help them out without scaring them away or without, you know, letting the abuser know.
And so many times when you're in ninth or 10th grade, those are your very first times ever dating, your first relationships. And look, I'm 50, but we all talk about relationships take work. It takes a lot of hard work and practice to get good at being in a healthy relationship. So I can't even imagine in ninth or 10th grade, or even now 8th grade, kids are identifying as I have a boyfriend or I have a girlfriend or I'm in a monogamous relationship. And what does that mean, and how do I do that in a way that doesn't involve the issues that come up because of immaturity or frontal lobe development? You know, one still is maybe feeling really jealous or really insecure or not quite has the best judgment in terms of making good, healthy choices. In terms of how you reach out to the kids at the high school? What is that done through?
So anyone is welcome to attend a YNET meeting. And like we said before, the YNET goes into junior wellness classes. So we're definitely present at the high school, and I think that everyone knows what YNET is and knows what we do. So, you know, we're definitely very welcoming, and it's anyone who would like to come or even approach us during school individually is absolutely welcome to do so.
Now, you're trained on how to get a teen support who might be dealing with abuse in their own relationship, but what about, are you trained on how to help a teen get help if there's abuse in their family?
In their family, we would probably encourage them to go to the domestic abuse services. We're trained on how to help a friend or help someone who's in an abusive relationship with a partner or someone that they are more likely to be able to get away from. But in a situation like that where it's in the home, we would probably encourage them to seek out help at the domestic abuse services.
And what are the goals of YNET?
So what we do is we promote healthy relationships, but also educate about what an unhealthy relationship does look like. So the warning signs of abuse or the difference between someone healthily, you know, letting you know that they care about you versus a jealous and controlling relationship, because there's a big difference. And like you said before, 9th and 10th graders, it may be their first time dating, and if they encounter it with their first relationship, they may not know that that's not normal, because that is their normal. That's their only experience that they have. So it's not necessarily, they're not going to know. So and what we're doing is that, yeah.
Sometimes I've had girls report, or even boys report to me, you know, the person I'm dating is really jealous. It's because they like me so much. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, but jealousy, if it shows itself in a relationship, can be really unhealthy too, because it can turn into control and domination issues.
Exactly. Yeah. We define domestic abuse as like a pattern of power and control, and that's something we tend to stress in the lessons that we give at the middle schoolers for 8th graders. So that the pattern of power and control is what you're looking for, what you're trying to identify.
Okay, great. Morgan, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I want to have Jahira just join us here in terms of talking about the impact of teen dating violence on one's development and future relationships. And what I've seen is that if there's not an intervention done, or if someone doesn't reach out at some point within or after an abusive relationship, that it tends to become a pattern. And so a girl who's in an abusive teenage relationship will often find herself in an abusive young adult relationship, which then can lead to an abusive marriage. And that's always concerning to me. What is the impact in terms of one's development?
Well, just to give you an idea of how frequent it's happening, dating abuse affects 1 in 3 young people. So it is happening a lot. And the other statistic is that teens between the ages of 16 to 24 are actually 3 times more likely to be in an abusive relationship. And that's just going off of what you and Morgan were talking about earlier, is that, you know, it is their first serious relationship and they don't really know what is healthy, what is, you know, what's unhealthy. How do I know when jealousy is a little too much or it becomes controlling? And so when you stay in that kind of relationship and you're not really sure if it's healthy, it could have some serious ramifications. It can put a victim at higher risk for substance abuse, eating disorders, low academic achievement. I had a mom come in like maybe 2 or 3 years ago, talking about her daughter. She was in a relationship for just 1 year, and in that year, she was like, you know, very good student, you know, straight A's, didn't want to go to a community college because she was like, I don't want to get stuck. And you know, I have all these high goals for myself. And then started dating this boy, first serious relationship, got pregnant within the year, had no other choice but to go to a community college. Like all her goals and dreams were just taken away simply because she was so stuck in this relationship, or at least she felt stuck, you know. And so it could really have a huge impact on, you know, just like your life, depression. risky sexual behavior, and then further domestic violence in the future, just because, you know, you might get out of this relationship or the person might leave you and then you get into another one because you're kind of used to that feeling of always being controlled.
And there's also the feelings that are sparked by the cycle of abuse with the violence happens, then all of this apology and I love you so much and the world is going to be happy ever after and you can't live without me and I can't live without you. And then that leads into the next cycle where it starts all over. And so it can be almost, it's a pattern that it's a trauma pattern that becomes almost addictive.
Right, exactly. And that's what makes it even more complicated, you know, because when we think of domestic violence, when we hear it or we see it or, you know, we read it in a book or we see it in the movies or even in the news, you know, it's painted as like it's just physical or it's always dangerous. The person is constantly beating the person. And that's not how it is at all, you know, maybe in some relationships. But, you know, there are some really good parts of the relationship. You know, which makes it harder because, you know, we've had situations, adults coming in, not even teens, and saying, I'm losing my best friend. If we break up, like I'm breaking up with my best friend, you know, and for some people to hear that when they don't really understand domestic violence, you know, they're like, kind of like, what do you mean? Like, you know, he's hitting you or he's doing this to you. Like, why wouldn't you leave? You know, but there's so much more to it. So
One of the young women that I worked with around the age of 26 came in and they had been in a long-term relationship and slowly over the years it was escalating and escalating his verbal abuse to the point where he said phrases to her that were so ugly and hurtful and full of so much rage. And he didn't drink. It's not like he was on some kind of drug or he just, when he got angry, his rage would escalate. And the sentences and words he used towards her and the cursing was beyond her wildest dreams. It was so embarrassing to her that he then felt remorse and would apologize after, but she never told anyone. And she lived like that, and she thought, well, maybe if I just do more and I'm more available to him, it'll get better. And, of course, it got worse as she became more available to him. And it was only after breaking the silence and reaching out to her mom that she, you know, came into my office, and we really worked through, you know, you deserve to be with someone who treats you kindly, who cares about you. The family was stunned when they found out the level of violence of his words. Not physical, just the level of violence of his words. And here they were welcoming him into their houses, their house, their home for holidays, thinking he's like her nice boyfriend. They had no idea what was going on. Now, the family saw symptoms and signs that they later identified, which was that she was withdrawing. She was becoming isolated. She wasn't hanging out with her girlfriends as much. She wasn't seeing the family as much. She would make excuses for different things.
Right. I'm sure even her self-esteem too, you know, goes down. We say this all the time that, you know, with, I don't know if you were going to say that, but the
no,
bruise,
you go.
Okay. How, you know, physical abuse, yes, it hurts, you know, and obviously you never want to get hit. No one likes to get hit. And then it leaves you a bruise, but the bruise eventually fades away. But the verbal and emotional abuse of someone constantly putting you down, making you feel worthless, saying you're this, you're that, nobody would ever want you, you're lucky I'm with you, you know, that is really damaging. And that takes a long time to just kind of restore and, you know, think that you're really worth it, you know, that you're worth everything and that, you know, you don't deserve this kind of abuse. So that's what people don't understand too, is that, you know, that emotional and verbal abuse, it's not just, you know, I'm in an abusive relationship where it's verbal and emotional. That's just as intense as physical.
And then there's the fear. Go ahead.
It's interesting that you mentioned talking about breaking the silence, because at YNET we say break the silence, break the cycle, because we really feel that domestic abuse and teen dating violence, it's something people feel really uncomfortable talking about. But when you don't talk about it, that's what allows it to become so prevalent. And we feel that if people were educated and knew the signs, you know, they could recognize those signs in themselves or their friends and be able to get themselves out of abusive relationships much faster before they necessarily become dangerous. And that if, you know, people were just educated and felt free to talk about it, you know, in our society, that it would be able to not as happen as much. And we think that education is the key to preventing abusive relationships in the future.
Very well said. Thank you, Olivia. In terms of abuse these days versus back, you know, maybe in the 80s or 90s when I was growing up, it's very different because of social media and the role of digital abuse. texting nonstop, mm-hmm. control. You know, at first, texting can feel real good when the cute boy is texting you and you want that attention and he's complimenting you. But after a while, when they're tracking your every move and they want to have that, you know, what's that on your iPhone? You can press that button where they can
find my iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See my location.
Right.
See my location all the time. Mm-hmm. That means you're always being watched. And right. I've run into that where kids say, well, my boyfriend asked me to make sure that he can always see my location because he worries about me.
Mm-hmm. Or I gave him my password, you know, because we don't mm-hmm. have anything to hide from each other. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, that can often be a sign of, you know, and not necessarily, it could be in all innocence, but it could be a sign of you know, something that could escalate.
Right. And we say, you know, to everyone, you know, even teens and adults, that everyone is allowed to have their privacy. You're not mm-hmm. meshed into one person now that you're dating someone, whether it's long-term, serious or not. You know, you still are an individual. And so just, like, to respect that, you know, of yourself and of your partner, because you could hang out with your own friends. You know, you don't have to have the same group of friends. You don't have to give your password. You know, like, your phone is your own property, you know, and that you can share, you know, photos and everything's with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, but for you to give them your password, it's just another thing, you know, and where they could easily start checking things without your approval. So we just always like to say that, you know, again, it's to respect their own individuality and their partners.
And in terms of what the abuse looks like, I know that, you know, we talk about verbal abuse, we talk about physical abuse, we've talked about digital abuse, but, you know, there's also the, what I hear so frequently of, I can't leave him, or I can't leave her because they won't survive without me. They need me to exist. Almost like this dependence that's fostered by the abusive relationship. Is that something that you're educating the teens about, that you can get out, that you're not trapped by a relationship?
Yes, we do. And a lot of times we say, we show them, like, the cycle of abuse. You know, there's the honeymoon phase, the tension, then the explosion, and then it goes back into the honeymoon. We say that there is a way out, you know, and that's actually one thing that one of the things that we do with YNET is that we make sure that when you know that someone is in an abusive relationship, that is the best time to be supportive of them, you know, mm-hmm. and to not judge them. That's the best time to say, I'm here for you. Text me, call me whenever you need it, whenever you feel uncomfortable, like, I'm here, you know, as your support system. I can walk to the YWCA with you. We could call the hotline together. You know, I can kind of be like holding your hand as you're talking to Jahira, because it might be a little intimidating, whatever it is, you know. So we really like to stress that with the teens, is, you know, saying that that's the best, you know, instead of judging the person, like, oh, they're in an abusive relationship, mm-hmm. or oh, there's so much drama in their relationship, it's the best time to be supportive and to ask questions and to say, I'm a comfortable person to have a conversation about, you know, about this stuff. So
now, domestic violence in teenage dating relationships has implications for other aspects of the teen's life. And I know that you wanted to speak a little bit about where we might see issues come up. And we had mentioned low grades. But right. Where else might we be looking for indications?
You mean like warning signs?
Well, more of the serious ramifications, like an eating disorder. There's a correlation, correct, between an eating disorder and...
I'm not really sure, to be honest. I could see, I mean, a lot of times with the emotional abuse... Yep. Yeah, I did say, I think a lot of times with the emotional abuse, because the person's trying to control the way that you look or you know, the way that you're dressing, they could say stuff like, you know, you've gained weight, like, no, you know, why, you know, why don't you lose 10 pounds or so, or, you know, you don't look good anymore because of, you know, you're not wearing any more makeup, or, you know, whatever it is that, you know, where they're trying to control the behavior or their appearance. A lot of times it could affect the way that they're eating, or the, you know, just like the way that they look at themselves. A lot of victims have low self-esteem, right. You know, which again could really affect them, and we go into that with the eighth graders. You know, we say, you know, why do you think, you know, like with Eric is the abuser in the skit, we say, why do you think Eric would want a girl to not wear any more makeup and to have a low self-esteem? Like, why does that matter to him? Mm-hmm. And they get it. They're like, because she's easier to control. And we're like, exactly.
Yep, you know? Exactly. Yep. And in adult relationships, I've had women walk in where they say, you know, I've gained so much weight since I've gotten into this relationship. Mm-hmm. And so why do they want them to gain weight? They're actually force feeding almost. I'll cook for you, and they end up eating more than they should. Mm-hmm. But the other high risk pieces that we should be looking for as professionals is depression, risky sexual behavior, and eating disorders, as I mentioned. You are at higher risk for that, plus low academic achievement and anxiety, if you are a teen in an abusive relationship.
Right. And honestly, every relationship is different. Every relationship depends. We've had, you know, we could say low academic achievement for some, but we also have had clients where maybe their parents are in abusive relationships and, you know, the daughter is like this overachiever, doesn't want to get anything wrong, you know, tries to be like this perfect child because she doesn't want to cause any more drama to the relation, you know, to their parents' relationship. So it really does also depend. Some people can have low, you know, academic scores. Some people can have higher ones. Reality or like this perfect situation that like everything's so well and everything's perfect in my life when really it's not. And it's also so that people don't give them any attention. Like, oh, everything's so great with them.
Yeah, putting on that front. Sure.
Exactly.
The other statistic that I think is so interesting is that girl teens are 6 times more likely to become pregnant and twice as likely to get an STI when they've been physically or sexually abused. Mm-hmm. As a teen.
Right. And with the physical abuse, that's just, again, with the power and control. You know, maybe he doesn't want her to take her birth control or, you know, just maybe forcing her to do other things that she's not comfortable doing. So, yeah, it could be.
All right, great.
Sense.
Thank you, Jahira. Okay. I'm going to target you, Ali, with some questions about why victims of abuse stay with their partners when we get back. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. This is Beth O'Malley at Be Well with Beth, part of the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour at WGCH 1490 or WGCH.com from anywhere.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Mostly sunny for this afternoon, cooler, temperatures in the mid to upper 40s, clear, cold tonight, 20 to 25, increased clouds tomorrow with a high around 40, more clouds with rain showers tomorrow night, 35, becoming partly sunny Wednesday, 55, mostly sunny mild low 60s Thursday, and partly sunny low 50s on Friday, rain showers 55 Saturday. I'm meteorologist Bill Jackwoman, and that's your Weather Center forecast from 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com. Anywhere.
We invite you to listen this Tuesday morning at 9:30 for an enlightening show, Good Living with Michelle Thomas. It'll bring a smile to your face, a few laughs, and the warmth of knowing how fortunate we are. Michelle will discuss topics that highlight good living for those in their golden years and caring for aging parents. We invite you to listen to Good Living with Michelle Thomas this Tuesday morning at 9:30 on 1490 WGCH.
This is Beth O'Malley at Be Well with Beth, part of the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour at WGCH 1490. And we are here with some of the girls from the high school who are part of YNET, which is an organization that really targets education and helping teens who are in abusive relationships as teenagers in high school. And so the question that I wanted to ask coming back from the break is, why do victims of abuse stay with their partners? And Ali, I wanted to ask if you would speak to this. And I think that the common question is, if it's so bad, why don't they just break up with that partner? Why do they stay?
Well, there's actually a few reasons why a victim may feel the need to stay in an abusive relationship, even if they realize that it's abusive. And the first is social status. I think a lot of people have this idea that you need to be in a relationship. And even if you don't think that you need to be in it, it's nice to be in a relationship. And I think definitely with teens at high schools, it's definitely like really like you get a lot of attention when you're in a relationship. When people like post pictures on social media, everyone sees you holding hands in the hallway. People like the attention that you get from it, but they might not want to leave that, and they might feel that people will maybe stop hanging out with them or stop giving them attention if they're no longer in this relationship. And there's also a fear about leaving a relationship. They may fear what the abuser will do to them, especially if it's a physically abusive relationship. But also there's a lot of things that can happen like around high school, like people spreading rumors, and like the abuser may try to ruin their reputation. So it's kind of hard for them to do that if they think that people may misunderstand why they left the relationship, because a lot of times the abuser kind of has this like reputation. If people don't realize that he or she is abusive, they may think like, oh, he's so nice, like he's such a great boyfriend, even if he really isn't. So people may think like, oh, why did she leave him? Like, why would she ever do something like that? He's such a great guy. So a lot of times people can feel that their reputation might be hurt if they try to leave the relationship. And they also may feel that they can make the abuse stop, that they can make it better, and like, oh, I can change him. But really, that is like, it's not the victim's fault. So it's really hard for them to try to change them. But also, they can really care about their abuser. It's possible to love your abuser because it's not bad all the time. There is the honeymoon phase of the relationship. So you may really enjoy spending time with him and being around him, and he may be your best friend. But the abuse will continue. So it's really important to recognize that the honeymoon definitely is not like a long-lasting part of that relationship.
Yeah. And as the relationship goes on, the honeymoon period is just going to get shorter and shorter every time. So really, I mean, it's safest to leave as early as you can, but it's important to note that the most dangerous point in an abusive relationship is when the victim is trying to leave. So that's why we recommend trying to contact someone in YNET or getting in contact with Marianne or Yahaira, because it can be dangerous to leave and you really want someone advocating for you.
That tends to be, it's at the leaving point is the time at which the violence will sometimes first show itself. Mm-hmm. I had mentioned earlier that as a teenager in 11th and 12th grade, I had been in an abusive relationship with a young man who was maybe 2 or 3 years older than me. And, you know, it was only in the moments that I tried to end the relationship that he would become violent. And he never hurt me physically, but he scared the life out of me by breaking objects in front of me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had shared before we went on the air that I'm blessed that about 10 years ago, that young man and I, somebody posted a picture on Facebook of me sitting on his lap in the yearbook, the senior yearbook, because that was the type of relationship we had. I wouldn't be in that yearbook unless he grabbed me and pulled me onto his lap. That was how controlling he was. And someone posted that picture and my heart froze. I got a lump in my throat. And that was how many years later? 30 years later? Mm-hmm. 35 years later? I had always been very careful to avoid him, and now it was out there and everyone from high school is liking it. And, for good or for better or for worse, our high school is very close and we're all still very good friends on Facebook. Well, lucky for me, he had done a lot of work on himself and got in touch with me immediately by Messenger and said, well, I've always let you be because I feel that out of respect for who you are and to let you grow as a woman, it'd be better for me to stay out of your life since you've been free of me basically for 30 years. But I would like to apologize. And it gave him that opening to step in and say, I've done a lot of work on myself. When I was a teenager, I thought, you know, you were an object to me. You weren't a human. I didn't respect who you were as an individual. And to this day, he remains one of my very closest friends because he was able to come back and apologize and not have that type of dominating personality. Mm-hmm. And he was able to go in therapy back to looking really at himself. And so today I'm blessed to have him, his son, his wife in my life, and they're a wonderful family. But that for me was the moment of healing.
Mm-hmm.
And that took how many years? 30 years.
Yeah.
So on that note, we would like to launch into what parents should know about a teenager that they might be worried about. And Marianne, I'd like to ask you as the nurse at the high school to address that.
I think as parents, and I have 5, so I've been through the teenage years many times, I think if we see a relationship that we're worried about, our first instinct is to try to, like, stop it or make it right. But I think, you know, if you criticize the abuser as a teenager, they only get more defensive, and they try to even make it more private, and they don't think we can understand anything about it. And if you try to say, no, you're not to see that person, I'm not going to allow you, you know, there's always a way that they're going to run into them and see them. So I think, you know, we as parents, I think it's a good idea to, you know, promote healthy relationships, talk about it, and maybe, you know, keep those lines of communication open. Ask your teen, how's it going with John? How do you feel? If he's doing something You know, if he's texting you and you want to have time with your friends, or you're trying to do your work, or he's constantly, you know, following you, are you upset about that? Or why aren't you hanging out with your friends? Is everything okay? You know, we should really listen to our teens, because I think if we take on the role of the person that, you know, doesn't want them to see this person and is constantly criticizing this person, we just draw them deeper into that relationship. And I think, you know, with the YWCA, you know, it's hard for us as parents to decide what's the right way to handle this. How can we? I think you can always call the hotline, ask for support advice. What should you do? Because, you know, you never want your teens to be in that situation where they're so deep into that relationship that they're having a hard time, you know, getting out of it. I mean, you don't want it to continue into the college years, you know, have them have problems, and then you want them to know what a healthy relationship is.
Absolutely. And I think as parents, sometimes we are so close to the situation. I've worked with some parents who, you know, really care for the young man, even though they know their daughter's having a real struggle. Mm-hmm. And so when you're too close to a situation, you also don't want to see enormous change. I've worked with, you know, young women who are married to abusers, and the parents are actually encouraging the wife to stay in the relationship. As unhealthy as that sounds, sometimes parents are not able to be neutral for whatever reason. And there's lots of different things and lots of baggage that we all bring into raising our kids, and sometimes our choices are not the best as parents. So in terms of at the high school, would it be helpful for a parent to reach out to the school social worker or to the school nurse like yourself to request resources when something comes up and they're aware of something that's concerning?
I think it's always a good idea if you have questions or you need help, because if you come to the nurse's office or the school psychologist or the social worker or even your guidance counselor, I think they can steer you in the right direction. Because I think as parents, sometimes, you know, this happens and you just yourself are at a loss at how to deal with it. And I think any support that you can, you know, gather is the best way to handle it, because when you're trying to, you see your teen suffering and they're shutting down to you because they feel like you're just trying to break this up, and they see it as this boyfriend that they love or this girlfriend that they love and they want to be with. They don't see the negatives of that boyfriend or that girlfriend. And you as the parent really are at the outside trying to, like, break it, you know, try to break it off and try to have them, you know, be apart from that person. And I think that if you reach out, you need help, I think it's always beneficial.
Yeah, and just to add to that also, because we're in YNET, you know, and because YNET is at the school and we do a lot of events, we have some teachers and some, you know, even some guidance counselors, some of the nurses who have expressed interest or who want to know more about YNET. We've trained all the school nurses on domestic violence. And we also, like Kathy Steiner, she's, you're like nodding your head. Everyone knows her. She's amazing.
She was on my first show here, actually. Oh, yeah, she was my first guest.
Yeah, she is YNET's, like, biggest fan. And, you know, she lets us go into the wellness classes. And so I've actually gotten several students from her who have gone up to her, felt comfortable talking to her because she's in the school, you know, she's there, she's talking.
Well,
about
she's approachable. Kathy is the type of teacher that, you know, you can go up to. Like, I always talk about Joan O'Day as one of the school's social workers, and they just have this wonderful way of being with the kids where it's safe to talk to them.
Right. They're not going to judge you. They're not going to say, oh, you have to do this or you have to do that. You know, they're there for you to, they want to listen to you. And so I've gotten several students from her, just, you know, and her being in the room and saying, I know Jahaira, she's great, you know, she's at the Y, she could come here, you know, and see you if you don't feel comfortable going to the Y. So, you know, those connections are also really important, and we get students in that way as well.
So a student can be at the high school if they're too afraid to come over to the Y. You can actually come and see them privately?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
wow.
I've met with students like in the nurse's office or through Marianne.
That's great.
Yeah.
Private area in the nurse's office that Jahira can meet with them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, terrific.
I've had a student call me. She was in the media center or the student center. She called me from her cell phone because Kathy Siner gave her our hotline number. And so I asked for Jahira, and she was in school and talking to me about her relationship. So, you know, it can really happen in any way, you know, so.
You know what's interesting to me is some of with referrals around domestic violence and teen domestic violence, what I'll find is that if one person seeks help and gets healthy and gets out of that situation, they are so much more keyed into when their friends start showing signs. Mm-hmm. And I've had a few times where referrals were made to their friends who said a little bit of something and they said, you know, I had a situation, and then they'll open up about their history, which then allows that person permission to start to open up more. Mm-hmm. And then they'll say, hey, you know, there are people out there who can help with this.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's so important to break the silence and just to feel open enough to talk about it, especially with, you know, your friends and family.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. And that's why when we started the show, I right away, when you came in the office, said, listen, I'm going to share my experience, mm-hmm. because not only did I find myself in an abusive relationship, and, you know, thank God this 30 years later, it had a happy ending. It didn't have to have that happy ending. It could have been much worse. And I remember my girlfriends in high school being very, very afraid for me and trying to talk to me about it. But, yeah, I was really still keeping everything in a bubble until I went off to college. Yeah. And then it was hard to hide from it anymore. We didn't have phones. We didn't have cell phones like you had. So if someone was going to media stalk you, they would actually add one number to every phone number, and they could call every room around you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So those are the old days of stalking. And then I shared with you also that I had a cousin who was in a domestic violence relationship. And that was so severe as a young adult that they had to extract her from the state she was in the Midwest and mm-hmm. have her come live with me and my then husband in Pennsylvania. And it was incredible. We had her hidden undercover mm-hmm. through a distant cousin so that she could be safe. Mm-hmm. And she stayed with us for 3 months. The boy did not stop the stalking behavior with her whole family. And so she was then transferred down to a halfway house for teen domestic violence. Now, who even knew that that existed? But mm-hmm. thank God there was one place in the country down in Miami where you could send someone who really had to be extracted from domestic violence in order to survive. Mm-hmm. And it took a solid year for her to ever be able to return to her home state. And luckily, she did enough work on herself and enough work with the family that she was safely able to go home and have a very wonderful life there, married a wonderful man, had a child, and so forth.
Yeah, it is difficult to leave, you know. Like mm-hmm. Olivia said, it's one of the most dangerous times, and victims know that, you know. It's either the threats that he, you know, he or she makes, you know, or just making you feel like, it's either the threatening of, you know, if you leave me, this is what's going to happen to you, or I can threaten, you know, the dog or the family, you know, the friends. So there's a lot of fear there, you know, or even maybe you have tried to leave, like you were saying before too, and like that's when the person's like throwing things at you or making more serious threats. Or we get this with teenagers where they try to they say like, I'm gonna hurt myself if you leave the relationship, which is really difficult, you know. Imagine like for a teenager, that pressure, you know, that you have to you know, that maybe this person will, you know, hurt themselves, you know. So
it's that message, I can't live without you, that is so prevalent in domestic violence, you know, relationships, adult and teen relationships. And if you leave me, I'm out of here, and it's going to be your fault.
And that can be a reason people are afraid to leave their relationship as well, and not because they can stay because they so love the person, but they can also be aware that they're in an abusive relationship and just feel like they're not able to leave because of the threats their abuser is making.
Yeah. And also, I think that many of us with strong codependent streaks get into abusive relationships because we feel like we can help them or change mm-hmm. them. And so that feeling of they're not going to be able to survive or be okay without us present does feed that narcissistic ego mm-hmm. of, you know, they're not going to be okay without me. I have to be there. I have to take care of them, which is not a healthy way of being.
You need to take care of yourself first.
Yeah. Putting your own needs before those of others is the key to addressing codependency. What I would like to talk a little bit about is this film Escalation. And Jahira, can you speak to what the film is? It's I know it's been shown in town a few times now privately. Some of the private schools have taken it on to really start to educate. You know, my hope as a therapist in town is that the public school system will also look at doing screenings for even students of this film, and that's my own personal feeling on that. But I really love open discussion, open sharing, and I think that the more open we are with each other, the more people will not find themselves in very unhealthy and dangerous situations because they know there is support out there.
Yes, exactly. Well, we are trying, YNET's goal is to try to get it into Greenwich High School and show it because we've seen the film and we think it's amazing. And, you know, it talks about warning signs. It talks about, it really shows the escalation piece, you know, that it is getting more dangerous. So we're working on trying to get it into Greenwich High School.
Oh, thank you.
So more details to follow on that.
I think it's wonderful. And I think the more parents that go out and see this film on February 28th at 6:30, the more support you'll have from us parents of high schoolers. And so that is really all I have to share today. I thank you all so very, very much for being here. And the information you shared is so valuable to our community. So this is Beth O'Malley at Be Well with Beth, part of the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour at 1490 WGCH.
Celebrating President's Day on 1490 WGCH Greenwich.
Flynn disappoints Pence. Who will replace Flynn? I'm Jim Ascendio. Vice President Mike Pence says he was disappointed that former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn lied to him. Flynn told Pence he did not talk about American sanctions with Russian officials.
But we honor General Flynn's long service to the United States of America, and I fully support the president's decision to ask for his resignation.
Pence is in Brussels for meetings with European officials. Who will replace Flynn as National Security Advisor? Well, President Donald Trump has just announced that General H.R. McMaster will fill the post. Trump says Keith Kellogg, who was interim advisor, will be McMaster's chief of staff. And Trump says that John Bolton, the former U.N. ambassador, will serve in another capacity. And this just in, authorities say California police